All right, welcome to the seventh episode of Charlie and Me. Today we have a special guest. We'll have to run quickly through our weekend update and get him on the phone. We're excited to have everyone here. One more time, if you're not our friends or family, I don't know why you listen or how you even found this. So congratulations. Bless you.
But thank you.
Anyway, find Charlie and I on Twitter. Find our charlieandme.org. If that's not how you listen to it, I don't know how you listen to it. Yeah, we'll get started here. Charlie, what'd you do this weekend?
I had the great pleasure of hanging out with some college buddies, Robbie and Summer. Thanks for coming and visiting. Went out to a nice German restaurant with some live polka music, big beer. It was a grand old time.
Nice.
Yeah, what about you, Grant?
The pleasures of living further than north, further south than north. I couldn't figure that one out in my head. I got the opportunity to play some golf. I golfed nine holes after watching the Masters, got them all in. I was the only guy out there. It was probably the best weekend treat to myself I've ever had.
Well, you lucky SOB.
I mean, personal treat outside I've ever had. The Masters was great. I had a Jimbo and decided I would get tickets to Jeff Dunham that started at 3 p.m. on Masters Sunday.
And that was a mistake because probably the best Sunday at the Masters I've witnessed.
Yeah, so I spent $12 on a ticket to Jeff Dunham that I watched Masters on my phone during the whole thing. So, whatever. I got laughs in between.
You know. What a thrill ride.
What a thrill ride. Come down to our Drake weekend, April 27th, and we'll have some beer and wine and probably accommodations for people.
So, watch some track.
April 27th weekend, make it down, watch some track, drink some beers. Yeah.
Good times.
And now we have the friendly update. We have a good friend of the show on here today, a long friend for Charlie and I, I think 5 years now, going on 5 years, maybe six. I don't know. I can't count. But
it's 5 inches.
Mike Myers, he's not from Halloween. He was kind of scary, but not in that way. And he's a current financial analyst for Wells Fargo. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, Wells Fargo. If you need a credit card account, you know, let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I hear you get bonuses for those.
So the funny thing is I interned during the summer until junior year, and I accepted the offer about 2 months before that happened. So now I just tell everyone that that was pretty much my internship was making those accounts. So that's if you need a credit card, let me know.
It's a great initiation process.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Mike. Well, Grant and I had the pleasure of living next to you freshman year. In the dorms, we wanted to know what was it like living next to Grant and I.
I like to think you had the pleasure of living next to us.
I mean, I definitely heard some interesting things going on over there, but I would say it was interesting nonetheless. Especially once it got to be Masters season and things got pretty heated when you guys did your yearly Masters. PGA Tour, a Tiger Woods round, so that was pretty good. I was actually thinking today, I was listening to the last episode of Charlie and Me, where you guys were talking about your favorite Grant moment, and I was thinking that one of the first times that I witnessed a intoxicated Grant Suddy was a weekend where I think Joe and I had a couple people over, and the next thing we hear is Grant knock on our door. He's like, hey, it's Grant. And you walk in and you're stumbling all over the place. And the first thing that you do as you walk in is you knock over like our stand-up fan and you fall with the fan loudest noise. And within 60 seconds of that happening, I can't remember who the RA was, but there was an RA
fish,
that came in.
Fish.
Yeah, Fish. That was fucking noise. Fish is like, is everything okay in here? And the funny thing is, he opens the door, and there'd be no way that you would be able to hold a conversation with how intoxicated you were. But you were, he opens the door and you hide like right behind it, so he doesn't even know that you're there. We're like, oh yeah, everything's good. So you, that was like the first, one of the first, you know, kind of run-ins on the weekend that I had with you guys. But it's been a trip.
I'm a little smarter than I look when I'm drunk, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got that going for you.
Clever, I like to think. Clever.
Do you want to guess the final scores for this week, this year's Masters?
Oh yeah, you should guess.
Well, every single time I witnesses you playing, and I had the fortunate opportunity myself of playing a few holes with you guys. I don't know who's the more highly skilled out of you two.
Thank you.
I'm gonna say
he absolutely didn't read the blog.
Am I supposed to guess each of your scores, or am I supposed to guess what the winning score was?
Either one will do. Yeah, four round total score under relation to par.
With I know what you guys do and how you simulate the weather conditions.
Yeah,
every time.
I'm gonna say Charlie won by a total of four strokes at 15 under.
Hey, Mike, before Charlie says anything, I just want to thank you. I appreciate you being so kind to me live on air. Charlie, you can go ahead and share now.
Grant had a four-round total of plus seven.
Oh, sheesh.
And
Horse was playing tough. How much did you shoot, Charlie?
I was 45 under.
Yeah. Well, he's a cheater, so...
Yeah, so a good 52 strokes. Let's just say the putter was running hot. I wasn't missing much.
Yeah.
Hey, drive for dough, putt for dough.
Yeah, I was putting for dough.
Damn.
Oh.
Okay. All right, man. What do you got?
So, Mike, all of us that didn't grow up in Minnesota, we never grew up with the term cake eater. I never grew up with it. I didn't understand it. When I first showed up, I was like, a cake eater? I don't like cake anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But what – How would as a true Minnesotan from Woodbury through and through, how would you define cake eater? Don't say Charlie.
Am I a cake eater to you, Grant? Is that what this is implying?
No, not necessarily.
If anyone's a cake eater, it's gotta be.
Yeah, Charlie's the biggest cake eater of all of us.
Cake eater. You commonly hear this be exchanged with you know, someone who's from Edina, or maybe even a YZ of. And I gotta be careful with you know, some of the listeners of this show. But cake eater really is just someone who you know, through and through, just really brings in the dough, and at the end of the day goes home and eats their cake, and that's pretty much all that, you know, there is to it. There's not too much hardship, and you know, kind of being a Minnesotan where, you know, there's no such thing as having a mean bone in your body. You know, everything is just peachy and soft as cake. That's pretty much it.
Alright.
Sounds about me.
Soft as cake. Soft as cake. I like that. Charlie's life is soft as cake. Yeah, I can use that. That'll be good.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Not a bad, I mean, it doesn't sound too bad, but you definitely have to live with that, you know, with that calling. So it's probably not the greatest thing, but if you don't really give a shit about what other people think about you, whatever.
Yeah.
True that.
For sure.
All right, Mike, next question is, so Patrick Reed won the Masters. How do you feel about that? What are your personal feelings toward Patrick Reed? He's a very bipolar player. Seems like you either love him or you hate him. Yep. Where are you at on that?
Yeah, I'm personally, I'm a little, I'm kind of in the middle. I personally don't like the guy. He's I've heard a lot of rumors about him kind of being an asshole, getting kicked off of
the Georgia University team.
Golf team and stealing from teammates and all that stuff. He's a hell of a golfer. Like, there's no denying that. But yeah. I don't know. It's kind of a showdown recreation of the Ryder Cup between Rory and Patrick Reed. So that was cool to see and you know, kind of pulling for Team USA all over again. But if I were to have it any other way, I definitely would have rather seen like a Spieth or a Ricky getting his his jacket would have been cool. But personality-wise, I think Patrick Reed is just kind of an asshole. but I don't know. He
hot
probably
take.
Isn't the guy that should be really wearing a green jacket. But you know, he's an all-the player, and you know, he fucking played like a champ. So I guess he deserved it.
So are you saying he'd be better fitted for an Open Championship?
Yeah, I mean, just being the kind of the end-all, be-all tournament of the year, I'd rather see a little bit more of a stand-up guy win it, to be honest. But, yeah, maybe more of an Open guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
PGA, he's a PGA.
No, the Open, they're all assholes in the UK.
The forgotten major.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it can go either way. Even though he's not stealing the Sunday Tiger Red anymore, it's kind of still not acceptable in my eyes.
Yeah. So we got a big trip planned coming up here.
Oh, jeez, we do.
Looks like we're heading to Vegas right before you decide to take a big exam. That's always it's always a good move. Lay off a little stress before you fill back up. I like it. Charlie wanted me to ask this because he got really nervous asking this question. But what's the most ridiculous thing you want to do while you're in Vegas? And I think he's been thinking about some sorts of strip clubs, and you know, it's 2018. I'm not sure what kind of strip clubs he wants to go to, but maybe
I'm gonna clarify for the record that this was not my question.
Oh, it wasn't your question?
No,
okay.
No.
Well, whether it be me specifically or, you know, kind of all together, I think if, you know, we don't make a visit to the club, I think, you know, what's the point of Vegas? So, you know, I know this is a family-friendly podcast, so maybe we can save that discussion for offline.
You meant the golf club, right?
We were thinking Top
Golf.
Yeah,
the golf club.
We're going to Top Golf.
Thank you.
There is a
sorry, Mom.
To the hotel, I believe. So yeah, I think you know that Top Golf that's connected to the hotel might
have to hit that up. How about we could do a little John Daly and just hit up the Hooters on the Strip?
Cool with that. We could make that a tradition.
Last time I was in Vegas, I did eat dinner at Hooters. Just saying.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, they got good wings.
I actually didn't eat. I just watched Fritz eat. I wasn't really hungry.
There you go.
But I was there.
Yeah, you know, John Daly even hits up the Hooters in Augusta nonstop on Augusta week, which is...
I think he just parks outside with his big RV.
With his camper.
Yeah, I saw that. That was crazy, dude. Apparently the, you know, the breasts are pretty good, and so is the chicken. Sorry.
Got it. Yeah, okay. I like it.
Going off that, Mike, we're going to hit you up with the tattoo question. If you were to get a tattoo, what would it be? Where would you put it? Grant's face is always an option.
John Daly's golf bag on your inner thigh.
You know, inner thigh is not a bad option. You know, I also like last week's discussion about the inside of the lip. You know, that's not a bad move either. And being that I don't have a tattoo, I haven't really thought about this too much.
That's why we ask it.
Yeah, I'm always just curious. It's kind of my personal.
Okay. If I were to get a tattoo, I wouldn't go and get it willingly. It'd have to be a part of a bet, first of all.
So you're saying next year's NCAA bracket loser gets a tattoo?
You know, I'm not ruling that out.
Ass tats.
any tattoo, I'd probably get something along the lines of, like the phrase ass eating season, you know, because it's always ass eating season.
Except for June and July, or July and August.
Yeah, it gets a little swampy, so, I don't know where I'd put it. I might leave that up to one of you two to, decide, maybe like, a little thigh or like a good ass tat, you know?
I'm always a fan of the barbed wire bicep.
I think it might look nice on your neck too.
Ooh,
that'd be pretty good. I could use that as a talking point in interviews. You know,
just bite me on the neck.
does that spell season correctly?
Yeah, we
can. S Z N.
S Z N. Or you could go the full. You know, just you want to cover more ground. You know, a little bit more real estate. You can do that too.
That's true.
All right, I got a little audible here before we go to the spelling bee. I was just thinking, I came up with this off the dome here, so a little impromptu. If it's terrible, just don't answer. But so today I was at work and I found out that I ripped my pants. And I walked around all day with ripped pants until I was leaving, and my coworker was like, "Hey, you got a rip on your pants," and it's like right by my butt.
Yeah.
Very close. And so that, you know, I was thinking, I was like, wow, I had a couple meetings today. I met with some people. I really hope they didn't see my butt through my pants or my boxers, you know, anything awkward like that. I tuck my shirt in. I'm always professional. Got to keep it straight. So what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you since you've been on the job for, you know, about almost a year now?
Let's see. I actually did something similar, except, I was getting out of my chair. So I was at my desk, and I kind of, you know, on the armrest of my chair, I lift myself up, and apparently, and I figured out this happened a lot later, but I ripped about like a 5-inch hole in the elbow of my shirt. I realized it the entire day. It wasn't as bad as maybe a rip in the pants near the buttocks region as you did, but I had like 4 people roasting me for about like 30 minutes at the end of the day. So it was a good wrap up to the day.
I imagine, but one of those French guy shirts that like have the big sleeves going and they're like flipping everywhere. That's what I imagine when you're saying that. You're like walking through and you don't notice it, and the next thing you know, you feel like you should be serving hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, I tried to play it off like I kind of knew what was going on, but that didn't really last very long. So
either way.
Yeah.
All right, we'll roll right into the spelling bee here. You know the rules. You know the rules. Charlie starts. If Charlie can't spell it correctly, you get a chance to spell it, and then you go. And there's two rounds. If you can win outright, third round will be overtime. You ready?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Gotta warn you, I'm feeling I'm at an all-time low in my spelling capabilities, so you caught me on the right week.
I like that confidence, Chuck. I'm loving it.
All right, Charlie, you ready?
Yep.
Your first word is disparities.
Oh, goodness. Okay, we'll give this a shot. Disparities.
Holy cow. Did you look it up?
No, I don't have any more devices to look it
no
up.
No way. Wow, Mike, you're out of luck. That was really good. We might have to start changing this game.
No, I'm good.
All right, Mike, you ready?
Yep.
Your word is significant.
Oh, all right. Significance. SIGNIFICANT.
That's correct.
Oh, sheesh.
She over.
Fair warning, I had that right on my paper too. So.
All right, dude. Charlie's feeling hot. So, Mike, you get the first word here for overtime.
Okay.
All right, your word is preference, like sexual preference. Preference.
Preference. PREFERANCE.
Well, that's preference. Wrong. That's wrong.
Really? That's exactly how I had it written down.
Wow.
Oh, no.
All right, Charlie, you get another word. I hope you get it right.
So do I. It's my first, like, clean win.
Unconscious. Unconscious. Like, T.O. was knocked unconscious by Gronk. Unconscious.
Oh, boy. It's the end of the word here. It's tricky.
Only reason I asked it.
Uncon. Uncon. Shuts.
Do, 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 do. 5.
Oh, God.
4.
UNCONTINSCIENCE.
No.
Nah, I panicked at the end.
That wasn't close at all.
Oh, it's a try that counts.
That was pretty far off. Well, Mike, I appreciate your effort. You just missed the A is supposed to be an E in preference.
Ah.
You were close, but
I knew I made that mistake.
Maybe next time. So tie goes to guest, Charlie. We got to be nice to our guests.
Yes. That's the best.
Anyway, Mike, we're happy to have you on. It's a good time. We'll have to get you back on again sometime before the show ends.
Absolutely, fellas. Looking forward to Vegas. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye, Mike.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
And that was the friendly update with Mike Myers. Great guy. Great guy all around.
One of our first friends we made at school, because he also moved in early.
Oh, yeah, for the golf team. I forgot about that. We could have asked him. Anyway, next time. Yeah. We'll have him on again.
Yeah.
Have him on again. Now we're moving into most people's favorite segment. Obviously my favorite segment, because I'm a big guy. They call me big guy. My mom does.
Big daddy.
No, they don't call me that. Just guy. but guy stuff. We got guy stuff. My big guy stuff thing today is not asking for help. I tend to find myself in situations where I could probably use help, but you don't want to ask for it. You just want someone to be like, oh, let me help you. But even then when they say, oh, let me help you, you're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. But then they insist on helping you. So you want that deep down, but, but you don't. You just don't ask for it. You're like, no, I'm okay. I think I'll figure it out. Thanks.
There's an instruction manual somewhere.
Yeah, this is a 1,000-pound table, Grant. Yeah, it's fine.
I'll build a hoist.
Yeah, I'll put it on a dolly. I don't know. So not asking for help. That's been big on my list recently.
Mine, fire. More specifically, manly scented candles that have fire on them. Nothing better than a nice scented candle. It just exudes that manly musk in the air. Exudes. And fire's pretty cool.
Can you define exudes?
Gives off.
Sure. All right. Not sure if that's actually...
I'm pretty sure it's pretty close.
Yeah, he's pretty close. You're pretty close. I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
So big news for Charlie here. Got you heading out on Saturday, is it?
Heading out on Saturday.
Charlie's gonna put one foot in front of the other for 26.2 miles and see how it turns out.
Yeah. My whole running career probably started in eighth grade, and ever since then, I had an aunt. She ran the Boston Marathon, and that just stuck in my head. I was like, I want to do that. I didn't know how much effort and hard work that would take. But I knew no matter where my running career took me, I wanted to run that specific marathon. I wanted to run the Boston Marathon. So that means I had to run one to qualify. I was able to do that this summer after graduation, pretty much, in the Grandma's Marathon. And so now I'm going to accomplish my lifelong running goal of running Boston. So it'll be a good time. Probably won't be as fast as my other one, not nearly as good a shape, but I'm just looking forward to being out in the East Coast and in Boston and enjoying my time on the roads.
So we have an especially special, I guess that would be how I'm saying it, episode coming next week, as Charlie will be playing a little bit hurt.
Very hurt. Very hurt.
He'll be playing slow, and so we'll be sure to mix physical activity into our broadcast. It'll be great. We're also gonna have another. A guy who hopefully runs the marathon as well. I mean, I guess at this point he's in it. He's qualified and he's signing up. He's got a plane ticket, but
sure, hope he makes it.
At this point, you don't know who's not gonna make it or not. But either way, we look forward to having a special Boston Marathon
recap.
I guess next week. Yep. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting and sore. So drink a lot of water this weekend, everyone. Think about Charlie when you're getting hammered on Sunday night, because the race is on Monday. And maybe tell your boss that it's a national holiday on Monday morning.
It's on TV, so I'll be there.
If it's on TV, it's a national holiday, right?
I'm starting in wave one. Galen Rupp also starts in wave one. So, I mean, if that means anything.
Nope, doesn't. You got a little Sports 90 for us today, Chuck?
We do. In honor of the Masters, we're going to keep the golf thing rolling. I'm going to try to explain some golf games that you can play within the game.
Games golf within the session. Game. All right, give me 1 second. You ready?
I am ready.
3, 2, go.
Okay, the first game is Bingo Bango Bongo. It's a points game. You play with the foursome in your group, or however many people in your group. You get 1 point for being the first person to get on the green. You get another point for being the closest to the pin, and you get another point for the first person to hole out, you know, put the ball in the cup. That's the first game. Skins is another game. Skins is very simple. You set a dollar amount per hole, and the winner of that hole gets that money. Now, if you tie on that hole, that money carries over to the next hole, so the next hole is doubled, and then so on and so forth. If you tie the last hole, there's usually a putt-off to see who wins. Another game is best ball. Best ball is where each person plays their own ball, you know, from tee to green, it's in the hole, plays their own best ball, but then you count the best score from your group. Best shot is similar, but each person hits every shot, but then from that shot, you pick the best shot from the group, and then everyone hits from where that ball was. It's a good game to play when you have a wide variety of skills. Vegas, you need four people in a group to play this. It's two people versus two people. And if, say, one person gets a four and one person gets a five from your team, that scores a 45. And if another another team gets a three and a four, that person's 34. So there's an 11-point swing. And you pay at the end a per point. So if you're down 10 points, you pay however much money per point. So that game can get really out of hand. There's a lot of side games you can play on that with a birdie flips the other score. So, like, instead of 45, it'd be 54. Wow, there's a lot of games.
Yeah, there's a lot of games out there, Charlie.
There's more. If you want more, go Google it.
You can play games with my heart. You can play games with your phone. You can play games with yourself, but that's kind of weird.
Don't go messing with my heart. Something like that. That's not how it
goes. Don't go breaking my heart. But you
don't go breaking my heart.
Don't go messing with my heart.
If I tried.
Yeah, we'll leave your singing to the beginning of the podcast. But thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So yeah, more golf games, go Google them or just hit me up for golf, around a golf, and we'll play.
Yeah. I think you have some childhood stories to share here. I've been trying to think of one for the past 90 seconds, and I have too many to even narrow it down.
Likely story. But anyway, yes. Warning, if there's any children out here, it might be a time to stop listening.
Earmuffs.
Of all things not to listen to, this will be it. My story has something to do with my sister and I and Christmas.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. I think I was like five years old. I think I just turned 5 years old. We traveled to my grandma and grandpa's house up just north of Chicago. And I'm 5 years old, so I still obviously believe in Santa and everything's great. But I remember driving the car, we had a strict rule where we couldn't look behind us in the car for me and my sister the whole trip. Anyway, so we get to their place, grandma and grandpa's place. Christmas morning, we open the gifts from Santa. It's great, having a blast. And then we go down in the basement, and their basement's unfinished, so it's concrete floors. My sister got a bike, and so she was riding her bike around the basement. And I was playing – I can't remember what I was playing with, but I was playing with my toys. And then she pulls me aside and goes, "Charlie, Santa's not real." And, yeah, it –
Oh my God.
I was distraught. She's like, she saved the handwriting, the to and from tag. One for my mom, like mom and dad, and one from Santa. And the handwriting.
That conniving little. Oh!
Yeah, so she's like 8 years old.
Oh
and
my
I'm five,
God. She held on to the tags and everything?
Right away, she ruined it. Didn't even. Yeah. And because, like, she also cheated and snuck. She took a peek in the back while my parents said we couldn't look in the back of the car. And saw her bike box.
Oh my God! She literally kept the tags that your mom had, and that she had. She was like playing a little Sherlock Holmes.
I can't remember if she like kept them, but she told me the handwriting was. She knew the handwriting was the same.
Jeez.
And told me right away, of course. Yeah. And so then I don't know. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and my mom came up to me like, "Charlie, do you believe in Santa?" And I was like, "Well, Mom, Kate ruined it for me when I was 5." So,
well, if it makes you feel any better, I thought Santa was real until I was at about 13.
Nice.
Anything you can say about me, I'm faithful. My story is pretty funny. Everyone knows I have a twin sister. We were all sitting around the dinner table once about Christmas time. And at school, everyone had been telling me that I, like, Santa's not real. And I'm like, come on.
You were that kid.
Come on. Of course he's real. Of course he is. Like, why wouldn't he be?
Gotta be real. How else would I get all these cool
gifts? Like, bullshit. Only one person I told was Santa. So, you know, I know he knows. Anyway, my twin sister Claire, who's probably listening to this right now and has a different side of the story, well, maybe not, and I bring it up to my parents and go, so is Santa real, Mom? And she's like, well, maybe we should talk about this. And that's when I'm thinking, oh, shit, it's about to go down. And then eventually one of my sisters blurts out that he's not real. I start getting a little upset, a little weepy-eyed. I'm sitting there, just ate some dinner. I'm full and I'm crying just like every other night.
Called the meat sweats.
And then one of my other sisters goes, should we tell him about the Easter Bunny too? And I was like, no. And then Claire goes, and how about the Tooth Fairy?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God. It was all over. It was all over in 5 minutes.
Triple whammy. Leprechaun.
Oh, well, leprechauns are still real. I know people that are short, ginger Irishmen, so makes them real. I digress.
They're after my lucky charms.
Oh, yeah. All right. you fit the bill, so that's check it there. You got a quote to bring us home here, Charlie?
I do. Unfortunately, I don't know who it's by. I didn't spend the time to look, to be honest. So we're going with unknown. It's going to be hard, but hard is not impossible.
Mm.
Hard is not impossible. That's like pretty much my motto going for this marathon. It's going to be hard. But it doesn't mean it's impossible. I will finish. I will hit that finish line.
Okay.
Probably. Just kidding.
Maybe. No, you'll do it. You'll do it.
I already got the jacket, so I feel like, you know, I kind of have to finish.
Yeah. Mine. I also don't know who said it or where it came from, but I read it somewhere and I liked it, and it kind of fits with my theme of wardrobe malfunctions today. So it says, all men are created equal. And then they get dressed.
For those who don't know, Grant has a nice hole in his pants.
We just shared it in the interview.
It was in the interview.
That's all right. Charlie wasn't actually there during the interview. He wasn't talking.
I digress.
They don't want to hear us bicker.
All right. That's another episode. Thank you for listening.
Well, we'll see you all next week as Charlie is sore and tired.
Deuces.